And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read from the 5th verse. And 37,000 young people worshiping the Lord, probably at altar call right now in Missouri. Thank the Lord. We got 9 or 10 that are there. And what an honor. Amen. What an honor. If you have your Bibles, would you say amen? Amen. If you've been reading your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
All right, that's even better. All right, let's read. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Notice this. I have planted, Apollos watered. Let's read this part together. But God gave the increase. Verse 7 says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Let's read this together. But God that giveth the increase. But God that giveth the increase. Notice verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Why don't you tell your neighbor and tell him we're a team. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, when it says ye are God's husbandry, that means that means he's cultivating you. You are basically in the garden. You're in his garden, and God is building you. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. This is the Apostle Paul talking. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth therein. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 11. I didn't give that to you. All right, that's it. And we're gonna talk tonight about spiritual grit. Spiritual grit. Tell your neighbor, you need to have some grit. You need to have some spiritual grit. Tell them no crybabies living for God. Don't be afraid. I know you've been wanting to tell them that your whole life. Tell them no crybabies living for the Lord. Would you lift your voices to the Lord right now? Let us pray that we would be hearers and doers of his word. Would you pray right now? Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Can we do that? Would you help me pray? Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for helping us, Jesus. Thank you today, God, for the peace which passeth understanding, O God. Long-suffering, God. Patience, goodness, meekness, temperance, God. Gentleness, God. Faith, O God. Help us today, God, to be, Lord, known by our fruits, God, of goodness, God, unto good works, God. Help us to encourage one another, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. And God bless you as you are seated in the presence of the Lord. Spiritual grit. Well, I'll just get right into it. You won't read the word grit in the Bible specifically, but it's there nonetheless. The Bible term for grit is what we would call steadfastness. In fact, specifically in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Grit could also be termed or shown in the scripture as endurance. In fact, scripture, my pastor used to text me often. It was Luke 21 and 19. In your patience possesses ye your souls. In fact, I'll read it from the Amplified Version. It says, by your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your soul. Steadfastness is the determination to remain at your post, no matter what may come. Endurance is a determination to keep moving towards your desired goal despite external challenges and internal weapons. Just think about that. But grit, notice grit, is firmness of mind and spirit. It's unyielding courage in the face of hardship or danger. Grit is one who demonstrates passion and perseverance toward a goal. Despite, notice this, being confronted by obstacles and distractions. Grit means you just kind of stick with it. Stick with it. It's even when there's a it looks easier to quit, but it's the diligent spirit of the nagging conviction of doing what's right regardless. Just grit. You just keep pressing forward. The Bible says, and there's scripture to back this up, that He's a rewarder of those that have some, what we would term today in our modern vernacular, He's a rewarder of those that have grit. Now, this is for application, not interpretation, but notice what the scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks Him. Grit is what makes you get back up on the bicycle after you've fallen off and busted the skin on your knee, and you just get back up and you act like nobody else saw you fall, and you just keep riding your bike. Grit is the realization that knowing that your walk with God is a walk with God that's a marathon, not a 40-yard dash.
Amen.
It's your walk with God. You're not. Nobody ought to be looking at somebody else and trying to keep up with them.
Right.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. Getting to heaven is going to be because we're in a spiritual marathon. In fact, I got 2 points tonight. And the first point is grit requires us to endure some things. We need spiritual grit. I know that. I'm not going to get off on this trail. I'm just going to stick to what I want. The Lord, I haven't eaten a couple of days, so I get kind of cranky, you know. But we have classes and stuff for sensitivity training and emotional intelligence, and those are appropriate and they're needed to help us because we need to be more aware and in tuned with personality traits. You have the 5 love languages. You have situational leadership. You have all these things. But there's something about having a backbone, right? There's something about having some tenacity, some resolve, some fortitude. And we have to have that in living for the Lord. You have to have that in life, but you can get away with having no backbone in life, but that's not going to work living for the Lord. You gotta have a backbone.
Yeah.
You gotta have some fortitude if you're gonna live for the Lord. Having spiritual grit requires us to endure some things. Notice what endurance means. It means to suffer something painful or difficult, patiently. It's having patience when things are difficult or it's painful. It's remaining in existence. It's holding out. It's a continuance. It means that you hold out. In fact, the scripture tells us that in Isaiah 53:5, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, talking about Jesus, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. And then it goes on to tell us that He was wounded for our transgressions and so on and so forth. But in the church and out of the church, there's going to be some days that you're going to face some grief.
Yeah.
You're going to have some distress. The grief, if you can lump grief together, it's distress, it's trouble, it's annoyance. In the church and out of the church, you're going to have some grief. But I would beg to differ that I would rather have grief in the church and knowing who I am and the support system that I have and the Word of God that I can lean on. Lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. It's having some spiritual grief, but say, you know what? Some spiritual grit that says, I have some grief, but He gives me peace which passeth all understanding. Spirit, we need to have spiritual grit and keep on serving the Lord no matter what. Knowing. John 4:4 says that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You can look at the face of trouble or complex situations and say, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I got some resolve. I got some tenacity. I got to fight. It's keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, keep on keeping on. That's why Hebrews 12 and 3. I'm trying to hurry tonight to get to some things that are just burning in my spirit. Boy, I'm getting there. Look at that. Hebrews 12 and 2 and 3 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You have to endure the cross. Notice this. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And this is presumably Paul speaking to us, telling us, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We got to remember that Jesus endured some things for us. Every whip, every humiliating word, every chastisement. It was an endurance for us so we could have life and life more abundantly. Paul tells us in 1st and 2nd Timothy 2 and 3 that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Notice, enduring hardness as a good soldier, not a bad soldier. A good soldier. We gotta endure some things. It's gotta be tough. I know that there's folks that have served in military here, and they could probably talk about boot camp and how hard and difficult and frustrating and they wanted to quit and wanted to give up, and maybe they threw up and got sick, but they just kept going. And thank the Lord that there is some spiritual soldiers that say, you know what, I've been through some tests and trials, but God's been good to me. Some pillars in the church, right? Pillars don't move. Think about that. Pillars don't move. Pillars have some grit. They have some spiritual resolve. They have some spiritual tenacity. They don't quit. I thank the Lord for pillars of the apostolic faith, like Peter and Paul, that they didn't quit. That they went through something. They went through some shipwrecks, literally. They went through some famines and some whippings, and they went in some exiles in the island of Patmos, John. But they didn't quit. They kept writing. Where would we be today without the writings of Paul? Right? What if he would have got to prison and said, you know what, that's it. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to sleep and I'll play dominoes. But what did he do? He started writing. We got more than half the New Testament today because a man had some spiritual grit. And say, you know what, I'm not going to allow my temporary situation cause me to make a personal, permanent decision that's going to impact my eternity forever. Spiritual grit. It's what, and I don't like to reference this version very often, but I did like what it had to say. 2 Timothy 2 and 3 in the Message version says, when the going gets rough, take it on the chin with the rest of us, the way Jesus did. If here, and this is gonna mess up somebody's theology, but if you get into heaven, it's not gonna be because you ran the fastest, or quoted the most Bible verses, or sang the loudest. It's going to be because you persevered.
Right.
It's going to be because you were faithful. You endured. You had spiritual endurance. You persevered and prayed when you didn't want to persevere or pray. You forgave somebody, like I talked about a little bit the other night. You forgave somebody even when they didn't say I'm sorry, didn't care what they did. You forgave them anyways because you knew that you had to have clean hands and a pure heart. It's going to be because you still gave in your tithes and offering, even when you looked at your bank account and says, I don't have it to give, but I know that God can do more with what I do have than what little I may try to keep from him. It's because you had some spiritual grit. You've endured some things. You repented daily. Yeah. Spiritual grit requires that we endure some things.
Yeah.
It's enduring. Notice this. It's enduring dressing holy and not succumbing to the trends of society, even when it may be more convenient to not dress holy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Ladies, it's dressing modest and being modest and dressing holy, even when it's more convenient, because the Bible says it's holy and it's biblical. And it pleases God. Somebody say amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 9 and 10, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That means that it's modest. And we're going to talk about some of these things later on down the road more specifically. But it's having spiritual grit and saying, you know, I may not be able to do some extracurricular activities because it's going to be immodest. So I have to have the spiritual grit and say, you know what? I want to get to heaven more than I want to lay out in my bikini on the beach. Somebody say amen. Men, you're not off the hook. No, notice our problem is our attitude, right? Spiritual grit requires us to put our pride down and be submitted to God, His Word, and His man, regardless if there's a personality conflict or not.
Yep.
Right? Notice what Timothy 2:8 says. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Watch this. Without wrath and doubting. I'll break it down to you. I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Oh, Pastor, you're being controversial. See? It's called having some spiritual grit. Praying and heeding to what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy ought to be our prayer. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy 2:7. That the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I mentioned it earlier, but I want to read. I want you to see what it says in Psalms 24. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Psalms 24, verse 3 through 5. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity or pride, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. It takes spiritual grit to live for God. It's a lot easier just to kind of do what your friends are doing that don't live for the Lord and go to a family function and kind of let down and have a summer fatigue and say, well, I'm just gonna watch. Now, some folks get offended. Those that are watching online, we're so glad you're here and we appreciate you. Those watching from Britain, God bless you in Jesus' name. But sometimes it may feel a little bit more convenient to sit at home and watch it from online. But spiritual grit says, you know what, I got to get to the house of God. Because the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. How many of you could testify and say, you know what, I think we're getting pretty close to the end of all this and the Lord's coming back. So how many would testify and say, lift your hand and say, I don't know when, but I think it's getting pretty wicked, because if not, Sodom and Gomorrah must have been really, really, really bad, because he destroyed that and look what's going on here. Hey, that means that any chance we get, we need to be in the house of God, in the fellowship with God's people, in the Word of God, and having some spiritual grit and say, you know what, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm frustrated, I'm sick, I got grief, but I'm still going to read my Bible. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to lift up my hands and worship the Lord. I'm still going to be a good steward. I'm still going to bless the Lord at all times. Because I got some spiritual grit.
Amen.
Ask your neighbor, do you quit your job because you got mad at the boss? Maybe you did. But you still cash that check, right? You don't say, oh, he made me mad. I'm not cashing this check on Friday. Send it back to him, baby. We're not taking his money. Right? Wish they would do that. Huh? Brother Sam, we don't do that, right? We say, you know, he owes me double. There's better be another one coming. Gives me another day off. I'm going to use my sick day. My eyes hurt. I can't see myself coming in. Yeah. It takes spiritual grit to live for the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes we've heard excuses of why things are not possible. And I get that. You know, can't happen, won't happen, probably won't happen, never done it before. We used to do it that way, but it didn't work out. And that is half truth. But somebody with some spiritual grit would understand what Paul writes in Romans, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And so we know that in us is flesh, carnality. And lots of things are not possible with man because man is flesh. Man is not God. Man has a tendency to only go so far and to back up or get comfortable. But a man and a lady of God that has some spiritual grit, Sister Savannah, would understand in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
It's I'm going to endure this season. I'm going to endure whatever I'm going through because the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You may literally be in a winter season spiritually. You may literally be in a season of grief right now, but it's not going to be that way forever.
No.
You may be on the mountaintop right now. Everything may be good, may be awesome, may be magnificent. You may have so much joy and happiness that you're bubbling over on everybody. Can I tell you what? It's not going to be that way forever either. Just pop somebody's bubble, Brother Mercy. We got to give them some tasty cakes. Amen, right? But we have spiritual endurance, spiritual grit that says, you know what? I'm going to make it. I'm still going to worship the Lord. I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to praise the Lord because I'm enduring. Notice some things that we have to endure as a child of God. We have to endure chastening, disciplinary instruction, or intentional discipline to teach us something. We teach our kids discipline, right? Brush your teeth, right? How many can say amen? All the teeth brushing people say amen. There we go. We teach them to throw out the trash. Hopefully you do. To clean their room. Hopefully you do. It's called intentional instruction of discipline. We do it so they can grow and mature and become productive citizens or part of the family with responsibility and so they can keep their teeth, right? But it's the same thing with the Lord. He's doing the building, the scripture says. He's doing the building. He gives the increase. We're laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are in the garden of the Lord, and He provides the increase, and He is building each one of us. In fact, it begins to make sense when you get further down to about verse 16 of the scripture, when Paul begins to tell the Corinthians, "Know ye not that your temple is of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So there's a lot more that goes into this that we're going to get to at a later time. But God is building in us. I'm the shepherd. I'm the master builder, but He's the foundation. He's giving the increase and He's doing the building. The scripture tells us, for another foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. It always has been and it will always be Him. We are baptized in His name. We are filled with the Spirit, His Spirit. There's only one God, and His name is Jesus. He's got one church, and He's wanting His church to be a holy church that is without spot or without blemish. But we're all going to grow and develop at the pace that we're putting the effort in to grow and to develop.
Right.
God gives the increase.
Amen.
But notice this. We have to build ourselves. Jude tells us in Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter in Jude, in verse 20 of Jude, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. There is more growth and development with your walk with God besides repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
God chastens us.
Yes, he does.
He chastens us through His Word. He chastens us or corrects us through the preaching, through prayer. How about this one? He chastens us or teaches us, is intentional, giving us direction through trials and testing. Anybody testify about that? Proverbs 10 and 17 tells us, He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life. But those who ignore correction will go astray. You got to have spiritual grit. Mm-hmm. It's part of the growth process. He does it because He loves us. Notice this in Hebrews 12 and 5. If you're taking notes, write this down or circle it in your Bible, highlight it in your iPad. He says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord hates, He chasteneth."
He loveth.
Somebody say, He loveth.
He loveth.
"For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Notice this. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Mm-hmm. "For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" We've got to have some spiritual grit to endure the chastening of the Lord.
Yeah.
I would like to tell you that there are places, not in this church, but there are places that will preach and teach to you your best life now. But I beg to differ. Your best life is not that now. Because there's coming a place where there's no tears and no sorrow, no pain. Come on. We got to have some spiritual grit if we're going to get to that place where there's no tears and no sorrow and no grief. Come on. We got to have some spiritual grit if we're going to get to heaven. We're not going to get there by accident. Notice what the Bible says. This is so good. Somebody is got to... You got to get this tonight. Circle this in your Bible. Hebrews 12 and 8. "But if ye be without chastisement, if ye be without disciplinary correction or instruction, wherefore all are partakers." Notice this. "Then ye are not bastards, then ye are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence."
Yeah.
"Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" It gets better. Yeah. "For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he," notice this, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his," somebody say, "holiness.
Holy.
Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." How many would agree with that? Nobody? I should be a big amen right now, because you don't want to wake up tomorrow morning and say, "Oh, I should have said amen, Pastor." Oh. "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
"Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." We don't like correction. Nobody likes correction. But God's going to correct us no matter if we like it or not, because He loves us. He wants us to grow. We are in His garden. He's given the increase. It's His breath in our lungs.
Yes.
We get tried and we get tested. Part of the process. The Apostle Peter breaks it down in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 12. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though something strange has happened to you." Notice this. "But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." Endure it. Man up. Tell your neighbor, man up. Notice this. If you be reproached, somebody say insulted, for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory of God rested upon you. You're going to have folks that are going to insult you.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have some spiritual grit and say, "It's all right. Insult me all you want, but I'm still a child of God."
Yeah.
Scripture tells us in Matthew 24 and 13, "But he that shall endure to the end, same shall be saved." Those of you that have some spiritual grit, stay faithful.
Yeah.
Forgiveness and love and mercy and repentance and holiness and have a prayer and commit it to the Lord and living according to the principles of the Word of God. You have some grit with that. Same shall be saved. Apostle Paul's writing to the people that were in Corinth, the church that he knew well. It was a major seaport. It was a major place of action. There was a lot of immorality, a lot of vices. In fact, it was immorality was rampant and idolatry was rampant. Paul started this church. It was a church mostly made of Gentiles, and he appeals to them and he tells them, you got to understand that ministry works together. And I, even though people grow at a different pace, we all are responsible for our personal growth. God gives the increase. And the second point I want to make tonight is that in the area of Corinth, there was a lot of immorality. There was a lot of flesh. There was a lot of distractions and disruptions. But Paul tells him, you got to understand that you are the building of God. And you, and when we get down to verse 13 or 16 later, it says that you are a holy temple and God resides in you. His Spirit resides in you. If you have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God resides in you. And so the second point is we have to avoid carnality.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Notice what Paul tells him in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. Starts out and says, have I fed you with milk and not with meat? For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you are yet carnal. Yeah, that was a popular word around my house as a kid. You're carnal. You need to clean your room. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And he goes down to verse 4. Are you not carnal? Carnality is not a spiritual gift.
No, it's not.
It's not. Thank you, Brother Bonham. Carnality is not something to be proud of. Carnality is a characteristic and the attributes of sin and flesh and the passions thereof. It produces worldliness. Carnality is living by the secular mindsets and fleshly appetites. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death. Starts in the mind.
Yeah.
Think about that. But to be spiritually minded, somebody say the mind, is life and peace, because the carnal mind, somebody say the mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. That's profound.
Yeah.
So then they that are in the flesh, I'm just going to put, so those that are carnal cannot please God. There are people sometimes sit behind you, in front of you, or next to you in the church that are carnal, and they come to church every service. They may even be involved in ministries around the church.
Mm-hmm.
They can't please God. That notice that carnality is enmity against God, and it starts in the mind. Before something gets to the heart, it comes in the mind. That's why a lot of times people struggle with things in the mind. Because the devil is trying to get those words and those ideas and those pictures and those thoughts and those images into your mind. Paul talks about the mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Romans 12 and 2. Some of you have been battling with carnality in your mind, and you've put that under subjection through prayer, through fasting, through the worship, through the reading of the Word of God. That's the solution. I commend you for that tonight. But it's also a good antidote to remember that when you start having those things come and bombard your mind and say, this is not of God. This is a carnal thought. And I got to get this carnal thought in the ground so it doesn't get in my heart. I got to rip it out at this present time. I can't go 6 months and have this carnality in my mind, because in 6 months, there's going to be some fruit, or there's going to be some roots and some vegetation.
Yeah.
I gotta have some spiritual grit and I gotta deal with it right away. That's why the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations come? In your mind. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? The mind. And bringing into captivity every thought. Where does the thought come from? From the mind. To the obedience of Christ. So having spiritual grit is dealing with carnality. Carnality is not just saying, well, I don't hang around. Well, I'm going to pick on Sister Julie, right? I got to make sure that when I'm around Sister Julie, I keep my beer bottle away, or I keep the curse words out of the way. But I can think about all kinds of things, and I can think about wanting to punch somebody out, and I could maybe go over when I'm not hanging out with her and do some things. Hey, that's a carnal mindset.
Yeah.
Is you can hang around with Pastor Brother Jurazik and Dr. Walker and Brother Bonham and Sister Pernell and Sister Jurazik all day long and still get into trouble. Because you're supposed to have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He's with you all day long, and sometimes we get into trouble. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We got to avoid carnality, right? It's going to happen. It's going to come your way. It's going to pop up in places and people and things. We got to avoid it. We got to have some spiritual grit and say, ah, that's what the flesh wants, but my spiritual nature wants clean hands and a pure heart.
Amen.
The flesh has a nature and wants to do things that are immoral, unethical, deceitful, and selfish. That's what carnality wants to have.
Mm-hmm.
Carnality takes seed and root, and then it begins to grow. Just like spiritual seed grows, carnality grows too. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, and I'm coming to a close, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" But it all starts in the mind. Once those roots are in place, carnality has free rein to begin to grow. Notice how carnality in the mind, and once it gets in the heart, what takes place in Matthew 15 and 18. Powerful Bible verse. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth," here we go, "evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies." Part of living for God is having spiritual grit to deal against, somebody say, carnality. Living for God is taking having some backbone. You're God's husbandry. You are God's build. God is building you. Each one of us has a purpose. He sees value in each and every one of us. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are His workmanship." The musicians would come. "Created in Christ Jesus unto prosperity, unto bad things, unto evil thoughts, unto hypocrisy, unto hurting people. For we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto carnality." Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's doing the building, using pastor to build you. But we're responsible for our growth individually. We're labors together. Ministry team works together, laboring together. But we're responsible for our labor. We gotta get rid of the weeds, right? We gotta get rid of the trash. Gotta get rid of the distractions. We gotta get rid of the carnality. We gotta eliminate some things. Spiritual grit. How many want to go to heaven? How many of you have a one-way ticket and you check it often? You don't care where you sit. You just get on a plane. This plane is, or this train or plane, is bound for glory, right?
Amen.
Notice this. Homework assignment. Noah demonstrated spiritual grit. Read Genesis chapter 6. Building an ark. Because the Lord told him to build it and how to build it. All he had was a word.
Yeah.
He demonstrated spiritual grit. I'm thankful he did. Saved 7 of his family members. Abraham and Sarah demonstrated spiritual grit. And read the story. Abraham and Sarah, Genesis chapter 12, all the way through chapters 21. All their ups and downs and all their, get out, Abraham, get out of idolatry. Get out of a place that you're not supposed to be, because I'm calling you to another place and I'm going to bless you and you're going to be faithful and you're going to be the father of many. Spiritual grit to go through all that stuff just to have the same thing told to him about 3 or 4 times. See the stars, see the sand of the sea, you're going to have a child. Jacob served his devious uncle Laban 14 years for 2 wives. Spiritual grit. Where would we be without Jacob? Just think about that. Read it. Genesis chapter 29 and chapter 31. How about Joseph?
Yeah.
I mean, I love to preach about Joseph. Where could have Joseph have quit? In the well? Potiphar's home? In prison? I mean, you name it. But he demonstrated some spiritual grit. He got it, because in Genesis 50, he makes a profound statement. What you meant for evil, God meant it unto good. How about Moses? He led a group of stiff-necked people. That's what the Bible says. The Lord says it. In the wilderness, 40 years. You don't think that took some spiritual grit? As we stand tonight, let me ask you a question. In fact, I want you to ask your neighbor, how's your prayer life? Ask them, how's your holiness? Don't be scared, ask them, how's your holiness? Ask them, how's your faithfulness? How's your faithfulness? Tell them. How's your worship? Ask them, how's your worship? How's your Bible reading? How many said good? Raise your hand. I want to see your hand. What'd they say over here? What'd they say over here? My pastor would say, he would go like this. What's good? Define good. And then I would say, need some work. I got to do better, Pastor. How many can do better? Can we find a place to pray? Talk to the Lord tonight? Have some spiritual grit? Average altar call. I'm ashamed to say this, but this is true. Let it not be that tonight. The average altar call is 7 minutes. Why don't we have 10-minute altar call tonight? Let's have some spiritual grit. Let's create an atmosphere of an altar call tonight. Let's talk to the Lord. Come to the altar. Make an altar at your chair. Turn around and pray. But let's have some spiritual grit and talk to the Lord. He's taking us deeper and we're going higher. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. More compassion, more mercy, more long-suffering.